Much has changed about our country and our world in the past decade, but there's always been one thing you could count on. From 1 to 3 p.m., you'd hear the voice we heard yesterday.
This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.
But soon, you won't hear it anymore. This is Central Standard. I'm Brian Ellison in Kansas City, and today we'll talk with Neil Conan about his 11 years at the helm of NPR's flagship midday program, which ends its 21-year run this week. Also today, as you'll hear in a moment from NPR News, the Supreme Court has ruled in the major case involving the Voting Rights Act. We'll talk about the national and local implications. Then later, it's our Nature in the City show, Summer Edition. What are you seeing this year in your yard and by the side of the road? Birds and Bugs, the Supreme Court, and Neil Conan, all 3 minutes from now on Central Standard after the news. When he signs off for the last time this Thursday, it will come after decades as one of public radio's most familiar voices. Since the end of NPR's flagship midday program was announced a few months ago, reaction has ranged from anger to sadness. No one seems happy about it, and mostly because they will miss this.
This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.
I'm Brian Ellison in Kansas City, and this is Central Standard. Today we're joined by the host of Talk of the Nation, Neil Conan. Neil, welcome to the program.
Brian, very nice of you to have me.
Well, we're thrilled to have you. Leaving NPR after decades on the air, what has it been like this week? How are you feeling?
You try to pretend like you're just doing another show, but it's, you know, you're not. It's the last Monday. It's the last Tuesday. It's, you know, we're trying to take care of business, what we're supposed to do as usual. Like you, I guess we're going to be focusing on the Voting Rights Act when our turn comes up in a couple of hours.
Well, right. And I'm thinking that every time a breaking news story like that comes up, your gut feeling must be, well, gosh, I've got to get ready to talk about that. And a couple of days from now, you won't have that anymore.
Yeah, the other part of that is I won't have to do all the preparation for the show anymore. I will miss talking about it, but I won't miss getting ready for it.
I am very sympathetic. So plenty of people are actually angry about this. They've written some pretty angry things. Are you feeling anger about it?
I can't say that I wasn't angry at various times, but at this point, I've come to the understanding that the decision was made by people who I disagree with, but they have real problems and they're trying to come up with real solutions. And this is not something they did lightly. They think that this is a better alternative. And again, you can agree, you can disagree, but, you know, they're the people in charge. So they've made their decision. So we're going to have to live with it.
Sure. You've had quite a career even before you were host of Talk of the Nation, producer and executive producer of All Things Considered, a reporter and bureau chief in New York and London. As you look back at all of that, what's been the highlight of your time at NPR?
Well, being a reporter, there's nothing better than being a reporter. You're paid to go out and talk to people and, you know, poke your nose into all kinds of things that you're not supposed to poke your nose into. And you learn about stuff and you go to interesting places and do interesting things. When I was a kid growing up, I was a nut on the Second World War in the Pacific, to some degree still am. But there were two places I always wanted to go. I wanted to go to Midway Atoll, the site of the famous battle in 1942, and to Guadalcanal, always described in the books as a malarial hellhole, where, of course, the battle was 42-43. And I have been lucky enough to get to go to both places.
Yeah, why wouldn't you want to go there?
Yeah. Exactly. Right. You know, it was just great. Just great.
Wow. I remember your long hours on the air on 9/11. We had an email from Beth. She said, "I'm so sad that Talk of the Nation is over. Neil's calm and steady voice walked me through the dark days of 9/11 and made me laugh as he kept pace with some of his comedic guests." Part journalist, part therapist, part friend, do you understand the role you've had on the air in people's lives?
I'm not sure you can ever quite comprehend it, but yes, being a companion every day on the radio has been a privilege and an honor to talk to people who've been listening to me since 9/11. I think that was a bonding moment for a lot of people because we were on the air so much from, Eastern time, from noon to four, and then again, we came back for, I guess, the first couple of weeks. I used to call them day-night doubleheaders from 10 a.m. when ATC went off until 1 o'clock in the morning when somebody else picked it up. Scott Simon came in and picked it up at 1 o'clock in the morning. So, the kind of experience of being with people during that time. Yes, and there's a degree, certainly, being informative and being fair and trying to figure out what actually happened. But yes, to some degree, you're holding people's hands. And that's an important role, not just through 9/11, but through everything else we've been through, through Iraq and Afghanistan, through, and all of Ken Rudin's bad jokes. So these are all a part of our national trauma.
A political junkie will be with you one more time tomorrow, right?
Yes, exactly.
So one of the things you mentioned, the doubleheader, a baseball reference. One of the things I have always been most envious of in your career was the time that you were able to take off to spend a season as a play-by-play announcer for a baseball team. How did that happen?
Well, I've always been interested in doing it. I decided to give it a shot, and there was a big battle going on with the Baltimore Orioles' great broadcaster John Miller with the team he eventually left, and of course now broadcasts for the San Francisco Giants and did for ESPN for many years. But the name of his agent was in the newspaper, and I thought, well, if he's good enough for John Miller, he's good enough for me. So I wrote him a letter, Ron Shapiro, and it turns out he was a listener and knew who I was, and he facilitated a tryout, if you will, with the Bowie Bay Sox of the AA Eastern League, the Orioles affiliate, and I did that sort of part-time weekends and when I could steal some time for a couple of years. And then the people who own that team bought a team in the Atlantic League, which is an independent circuit up and down the east coast of the United States, and they needed a play-by-play guy, and I had the opportunity to give it a shot. So why not? And it turned out I thought I knew how to do it from doing it at Bowie. I didn't, so it took me a while to figure it out. But once I figured it out, it was about as much fun as you can have in broadcasting. It was great. It was like stealing money. It was the Atlantic League, so it was like stealing very little money.
Right.
But it was nevertheless, it was just great.
About the same for the players, too.
Sure, exactly. They weren't making a lot, yeah.
I wonder if we might talk for a minute, Neil, about the state of public radio and maybe radio in general. You have better perspective than most, and at a time when so much energy is being focused on new media, on social media, digital content, what do you think the future holds for good old-fashioned radio?
I think the future is bright for good old-fashioned radio. People have written its demise since the advent of television, so I think we need not to be too hasty here. The medium is so convenient. The medium is so cheap. You'll forgive me. We were just talking about minor league baseball can afford to broadcast on radio. It is such a part of people's lives. It is so vital in people's lives. It may change. Of course it's going to change. Is it going to be different? Yes. Is its role going to be different? Of course it's going to be different as new sources become available. But radio is always going to be part of people's lives because it's so great.
I'm going to try to ask this in as objective a way as possible. Are call-in shows doomed?
No. No, absolutely not. I think call-in shows provide a vital service on the local level because they tie different parts of the community together, and on the national level because they tie different parts of the nation together. They provide opportunities for people to tell stories about the things they know best, their own lives, and in doing so, to explain what happened to them and why and how they reacted to it, they connect with different people all over the country, and you understand if you live in Jacksonville, what it's like to listen to live through a drought in Oklahoma.
Yeah, I guess we just have a short amount of time with you left, but you're leaving NPR. There have been some reports that said you were invited to stay in some other role. You've decided not
I
to
was,
do that.
Yeah.
What will you do instead? What's ahead for Neil Conan?
I'm going to catch up on 11 and a half years of sleep.
There you go.
Yeah, and have a good time, at least for 6 months. Then we'll figure it out.
Any interest in television?
Nah.
No television.
Face for radio.
Oh, come on now. Well, Neil Conan, you are a credit to the profession and to public radio, without doubt the best in the business. And on behalf of all of us around here at KCUR, let me offer you our thanks and every good wish for the future.
Brian, thank you so much for the opportunity.
That's Neil Conan, host for 11 years of NPR's Talk of the Nation. The show ends production on Thursday.